once you know what is right to do, is to just go ahead and do it.
Our mission and vision is launching girls who are going to change the world and being leaders in 21st century education. It's a very clear directive. And I think following your mission and vision is essential.
For many of us, school is the same every day. Same classes, same classrooms, same times, every single day. In the past, schools have played around with different types of schedules, but what would happen if you took a completely innovative approach to the traditional school day, week, and year? What would you gain? What challenges would you face? Would the students and faculty benefit? Hi, I'm Sarah Edson.
And I'm Yanni Hillgill. Today, we will be talking with some folks from the Madera School in McLean, Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., about how they did this very thing.
Hi, I'm Kate McGordy, the Assistant Academic Dean at the Madera School. I've been an educator for 17 years, and 12 of those years have been in girls' schools.
Hello, Sarah and Yanni. I'm Andrew Sharp. I'm the chair of the History Department at the Madera School. I've actually spent all my life working at girls' schools, which by my calculation should be about 22 years.
Well, great. So Madera School, you all have just recently instituted a new modular schedule. So tell us a little bit about what that means.
So logistically speaking, that means that we've divided our year into 7 5-week periods. So those are the modules. Within the module, we have the same class day every day, and there are 3 periods to the day for the academic, during the academic day, and then we have a D block at the end of the day for activities and athletics. So that means that a girl is really focusing on only 3 academic areas at once. And then every 5 weeks, she shifts. One mod, a girl may have U.S. history and an English class and a physics class. And then the next mod, she may have Spanish, she may have physics again, and she may add in pre-calculus. So it changes. A student has 18 to 21 academic blocks over the course of the year, and they participate in an activity every afternoon. It's kind of what the day looks like and the year feels like. It's nice, the 5 weeks, you have natural breaks at winter break and for spring break. So we have 2 30-minute chunks of time in our day for conferences, and then we also have lunch and advisory. The students have lunch with one other grade level. So they pair up and it changes every mod. So right now the 11th and 12th graders are eating together, and at the opposite time they have advisory.
I think you mentioned this, but the other thing that's built into that schedule is that one mod out of the 7 mods a year is dedicated to our co-curriculum program. The first mod, everybody is here on campus. You know, we view that as kind of an orientation process and everybody getting to know each other. But then moving on from there, mods 2 through 7, we have various groups going off campus for their co-curriculum programs.
This is all really interesting, and I know a lot of other girls' schools have interest in reimagining their schedule, and that process starts with asking questions. So we're curious, what were some of the questions that the Madera community asked itself and the reasons for moving to the system that you've arrived at?
It's a little bit strange to think about that this all started about 5 years ago, going back to 2011, as Madera began its strategic planning process. Between 2011 and 2013, we began to ask ourselves various questions about both our vision for the school and how our curriculum fit into that. A heavy component within the strategic plan that we ultimately agreed upon was to focus on 21st century girls' education. And a key element there for us was, what does the research show about the way that girls are learning? What do we need to do to kind of update our practices and think differently about the way that we are teaching girls and interacting with girls and the way that girls are learning? We certainly wanted to place more emphasis on an active student engagement, more emphasis on collaboration, more emphasis on experiential problem solving. And so we had to figure out what it was that we had to change in terms of our curriculum as well as our schedule to help facilitate that.
And we started by asking our faculty and our students, what did they see as strengths in their day? And what did they see as areas that we could improve? So we had the mandate from the strategic plan, and we had our curriculum that we were naturally seeing evolving. Teachers were getting increasingly frustrated. They didn't have enough time during the day to accomplish more inquiry-based activities and be less lecture-focused and more student-based. And we actually did a whole sticky note. So my office was all sticky notes. And we took every piece of feedback and we put it into different categories. Based on those categories, we then dived into the research. What does the research say about the categories and how they impact girls in education? And so we had brain-based, kind of what's the neurological functioning in education. And we looked into experiential learning and interdisciplinary teaching. We looked at disciplinary excellence. We looked at student life, because we were also a boarding school, so student life is an essential piece. We looked at pacing. I can't tell you how many times that came up. Students felt too busy, too overwhelmed. Teachers, everybody on campus was just running from one thing to the next. And then we also wanted to focus on student-centered learning and a student-centered curriculum and day. So we looked at all these things, did the research, and that's led to more questions. And that's kind of how we started.
And just to, you know, pick up there, because I'm currently going through a discussion about a schedule change. So I am always curious about the process. So once you sort of figured out what the questions were, where the areas of focus needed to be, what was the actual process in terms of mapping out the schedule and where you landed?
We initially had said we want to change our curriculum. Once we had kind of decided on that, then we began to think about the schedule and aligning the schedule with the curriculum. We had an outside facilitator helping us with the process designing a new curriculum. And of course, in that conversation, I mean, there was a lot of conversation about, well, if we're going to move to a curriculum like this, then we're going to have to adjust our schedule to match that right. as well. But I think once we had settled on a curriculum that we felt that was right for the school, then we could begin to focus on the schedule. What, you also asked about, like, specifically our process. We set up what we called a curriculum leadership team, which was a group of, I think, six or seven of us that were appointed by the head of the school, drawn from a variety of different backgrounds and departments, meant to represent different elements of the school. And really, this body was tasked with making recommendations both to the school's leadership team, the administrative team, as well as then being a liaison with the faculty. That team did most of the research, most of the work. That team was kind of the guiding element in driving this. And then we would come back and make various proposals to the administrative team, who would then either accept, modify, refute, and we would go from there.
A burning question, of course, is how is this going? How are the faculty and the students reacting? I loved hearing that you had this team kind of leading the change internally from within. Did you find that was beneficial and people are embracing the changes more because of that internal leadership?
One of the other things that we did is when we presented, the curriculum leadership team presented multiple schedule options to the faculty. We ranked the different schedules along the different criteria that I mentioned earlier, brain-based, student-centered, pacing. And we said, how does each schedule address our concerns in these areas? And how do they meet our goals for the future of our curriculum? And so all faculty members heard this presentation and then took time, reflected, and ranked the different schedules. We looked at block scheduling, 4x4, the modular, and our current schedule. That was part of the mix. Do we stay with what we have? The whole faculty is actually the one that determined that the modular schedule was the one that best suited our needs. So it was a collaborative and a group decision. And I think that really had a very positive impact on us moving forward, because it was a group decision.
Now, that being said, that does not mean that instantly everyone, that it was 100%, you know, celebratory support all the way around. And so I think, you know, one of the things that we spent a lot of time with as a CLT was thinking about where in our community are there are those who are less excited about this. Why is that? How can we help them and support them in that transition? I will say kind of a key element in the transition to this schedule was the leadership of the school in effectively saying to the faculty and to the wider community, once we've made this decision, we're making it. We're not going to go back. We're not going to, you know, adjust it here or there just because your favorite program or something like this has changed. And so it kind of was an all in or all nothing, right? Effectively, the administrative team was saying, we're all in on this. And so, and it may mean that some of you are going to have to change the way that you approach things. Yeah. And that kind of change is hard. I would say, you know, here we are in our third year of it. I will hold myself up as an example. I'm still figuring out all the ins and outs and exactly how this will work. But I think what Kate and I are finding is that we are finding more and more support among our faculty as they've adjusted to and come to accept it.
You know, I think anytime you make changes, there's always unintended consequences, mm-hmm. both, you know, beneficial and some, you know, challenges. So mm-hmm. I'm very curious to hear from you all, or what are some of the unintended consequences on the beneficial side, right? How have some of your other programs been affected?
Mm-hmm. We were actually able to start a new curriculum called Student Life. And so this program is for freshmen, and then it's a required program for freshmen, and then there are elective options for the upperclassmen. And the program is really all about study skills, about environment, about media literacy, digital storytelling, about diversity. It brings in all the different aspects of the, you know, the little programs you have going on at different times of the day, and but that are so essential. And you say, oh, I wish we could teach the girls how to do X, how to change a tire, how to change the oil in the car. We live on this beautiful campus with all these acres, environmental stewardship. We want to make sure that they're taking care of their surroundings. So we created this course, and we wanted it to be something that was available to all of the girls, not just an evening program for the boarders. And so we gave time for this. So it's exciting to give space for new programming that we know is so crucial. So that's been a real benefit for us.
You know, one of our goals with our revisions to our curriculum had been to try to be more intentional about the things that we're teaching, mm-hmm. you know, quite explicitly make it a part of our overall curriculum. And so we were able to do that with this schedule. Likewise, with the co-curriculum program, we wanted something that would better integrate into our overall curriculum. And quite frankly, our co-curriculum program had begun to face some challenges as it had aged and as, you know, workplaces had changed. By allowing our students to spend an entire 5 weeks from 9 to 4 at a placement kind of, you know, revived many elements of that program in a way that I don't think we fully foresaw how beneficial that would be. Now, I suppose one of the things that we didn't foresee is, you know, the students, and I think that I say this as a positive, by the way, but the students are coming back. They are experiencing much more the reality of what it's like to have a 9-to-5 job. Yeah. And so they come back at the end of the day, they are tired. But I would say, you know, here's another great outcome that we saw this, and this is anecdotal. I don't know how research-based this is. But we have seen a decline in our student health concerns. So whereas before we had, you know, and I'm sure all of us are experiencing this to some extent, you know, just ever rising levels of stress and anxiety, and for that matter, depression. Anecdotally, our health center is reporting to us that they are seeing a decline in those stresses. They're seeing other stresses pop up, but they are different than what we had been seeing before. And they are viewing that largely as a positive. I mean, I think that had been one of our hopes, mm-hmm. but we didn't know that, in fact, that would happen.
I'm curious to hear a little bit more about the student reaction to these changes. You mentioned it's kind of a wake-up call for a taste of the so-called real world. So tell me a little bit more about students' reactions and the benefits that you described, the health benefits. Are they feeling that themselves?
Mm-hmm. They do. And we've done some Q&A with girls and solicited their feedback about the schedule each year as we go through it to see how the different classes are adjusting. Our seniors are the only class that had the old schedule their freshman year. All the other grades have only known the modular schedule. And so it's important to touch base because we're always looking forward. If we were to re-examine our schedule again, or just how we use time, is it matching up with our goals and our expectations? And the girls have really interesting feedback about that. They really enjoy changing every 5 weeks. They like that they have something different to look forward to. And that was a little surprising to me. I was worried that they might, too much change in the year might be overwhelming for them, but they really have enjoyed having something new in 5 weeks. And they can acknowledge that they can tackle things for 5 weeks, and having the break from a course or a topic is refreshing for them. So a student who is really working on her writing skills, she can take a 5-week break in English and use weekly conferences with her teacher to improve her skills, to work on those thesis statements. And then when she goes back into the next mod of her course, she's had practice time. So she feels more confident. And you can apply that same thing to math, languages, you know, science, whichever. And the girls are actively using that. It's a great learning strategy for them. It takes the pressure off a little bit. The idea of change, some of the girls had a hard time adjusting to change. So changing the schedule, we had a lot of communication with faculty, with parents, with new incoming students. But our current students, I think if we were to adjust something, if we were to do it again, I think being more intentional about the change process and acknowledging that it's hard and it's stressful for girls, the change of the overall schedule.
The girls who were there mid-change, you know, in some ways we changed the rules on them halfway through their career, right? You know, they had become very skilled at managing the schedule as they knew it up until that point in time, and all of a sudden we say, no, we're changing that. And that's admittedly that is a hard change for them. And I think for some students there was pushback on that. You know, they didn't want that, you know, that what they were accustomed to change, even though I think they realized the benefits of it. And I think that's been so telling to us. Once a week we meet with visitors coming to the campus, looking at the school. And so a lot of parents have been coming in asking about what's this modular schedule all about? Why did you go to it? And so forth. And one of the things that we are finding is that, you know, parents are very intrigued, very interested in kind of the reasons why we went to this. They like the reasons that we went to it, and they kind of see a need for it. I think what we're seeing is that we're attracting new people into our marketplace, so to speak, that I don't think otherwise would have considered the school, because they see it as meeting some of the interests and needs that they have. And so that idea that there are parents out there and students out there who are attracted to this model and want to take advantage of it, I think it's a great sign for us and kind of a great encouragement for us that we made a good decision.
And it was interesting to separate out for the girls, is it the schedule change that you're adjusting to, or is it a shift in curriculum and teaching style and expectations of more student-centered teaching, you being the driver of your learning and the inquiry rather than your teacher directing? You know, in a 45-minute class, there is a lot more teacher-directed content delivery. And when you have 80 minutes, there's a lot more student-led inquiry. And that shift, often when you got to the heart of it, that was the shift that was hard for some of the students, and helping them manage how to change but adapt their learning was really at the heart of what made them nervous about the schedule change. Often we say it's not the schedule, you know,
right.
It's
right.
Some of the other parameters that were shifting that's really at the heart of what makes it a challenge, but leads to really exciting conversations with the girls.
Well, I am curious about the perception and how you all addressed the math and the language piece of not having that every day. And then the big piece of APs, and how does that fit into the modular, you know, schedule?
I'll let Kate handle the math and language, but I'll speak to the APs. Effectively, what we said when we went to this schedule was that a year-long course is no longer actually meeting every day for a full year. So what's the equivalency of that? And so we generally said a year-long course is equal to 3 mods, but with the exception of AP courses would be equal to 4 mods. And for most classes, that equaled out to be about the same amount of teaching minutes. And the question was, you know, you had to adjust your curriculum, you know, to the different days and the different mods. But generally speaking, and I teach the AP US History course, you know, the content that I'm doing is really no different than what I had been doing before. In fact, I think what's changed is more of just the delivery of the material within that 80-minute block. But over the 4 mods, it has not changed. And confirmed this with Kate yesterday, who works in the academic office. We have not seen any change in our academic or our AP scores. You know, whereas if we had been having problems with the AP program, we would have started to see some fallout mm-hmm. from that, but we're not seeing that. You know, I think we're seeing the opposite, that in fact, that the grades are exactly where we would expect them to be as we had been in our old schedule. So in terms of APs, I guess the one thing we would say about the APs is in our old schedule, the APs drove our schedule. And in our new schedule, the APs drive our schedule. We haven't been able to break out of that mold. They are still kind of the number one factor that will determine kind of where classes go and, you know, who's meeting when and what classes students get into. So that has not changed. But in terms of the, you know, delivery material and content and learning, that has all remained the same. And, you know, of course, students are worried like, well, what if I finish in Mod 4 and I don't take, you know, the exam until Mod 7? This is always a concern that they have, but there's no reality to that concern. As I said, we have not seen any drop off in scores. And frankly, you know, the teachers find ways to help the students review before those exams. So.
Part of the research that we did in preparing for possible schedule changes was looking at retention. And in particular, math and languages came up as an area that typically people had questions about. And one of the research that we found from Cal that does a lot of language research was that in their study that students retained 85% of what they learned after 4 months. And after 11 months, it was still at 80%. So the time difference, the amount that was lost, we didn't see as being a significant factor. So that was very encouraging to us as we prepared for this shift. And really what they were seeing was that the factual information may leave you, but that there's a higher retention rate if you're engaging in critical thinking, which we all know to be true as educators. Right. So we had research to support this. And so that led to our language department, for example, the head of our language department, Catalina Kilhauer, and she actually wrote her dissertation on project-based learning. And her title was Project-Based Learning, An Approach to Restructuring a World Language Curriculum. And so they have actively engaged in Catalina's research in our language classes over the past 2 years and have found that it is a very beneficial way to learn languages and that this modular schedule gives students time. And that exact thing that I was talking about, the break, allows students to sometimes pause, which can be good. And then it has also allowed us to build in courses that we call Bridge. So Bridge to French 1 and Bridge to French 2 that allows us to slow down language instruction for some students and add additional time in. So one of the things that we'd always seen is in French 1, you have girls who have studied it through middle school who wish to kind of review the basics. And then you have some girls who have know nothing. You know, they know the Eiffel Tower. That's about it. And you're at these two totally different points in the beginning of the school year. So now we've been able to allow the girls who have never had any French to take Bridge to French 1 so they can be at the same point when they start French 1 with the girls who have already been exposed to the language. And so that's been a tremendous benefit. We've done the same thing with math, Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. We've added these Bridge classes to slow down and allow for extra instruction for those girls who need it. And it's really helped a portion of our population that was struggling and build confidence in the girls in these areas that we want them to thrive, to be global citizens and to be, think of themselves as math geniuses, because they all are. They just have to, you know, discover it. The math in particular, they've done some really interesting things this year. They've taken pre-calculus and advanced algebra 2 and they've redone the curriculum based on topics. So you can take either one of those blocks at any time. So you can reverse the order. So math doesn't have to be sequential anymore. And that's really fun for the girls and the faculty to see that math, as you saw, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, you know, we're redesigning it and figuring out new ways to play around with math concepts. So that's been exciting, curricularly wise.
The other thing that we did, and we recognized this fairly early on, is that, and this is probably true for all subjects, but the math and language department were particularly keen on having the students do some reinforcement mm-hmm. in between mods. In language, for example, I think, what is the expectation?
10 minutes a night
on one of the online kind of textbook supplements, just to kind of keep some familiarity with it and just so that they're not completely losing touch with it.
This is so fascinating. You guys have shared so much, and we are grateful for that. Do you have any sort of closing words of wisdom for other schools that may be earlier in the process of redesigning their curriculum and their schedule?
One of the things that we were surprised by was how quickly it happened. And I credit our head for that. Pilar Cabeza de Vaca was very insistent that if we're going to make this change, we're going to do it. You know, at first, I think many of us thought that was a mistake. We thought, no, we want to ease into this and roll it out. But I think she was right in the long run, that once you know what is right to do is to just go ahead and do it. And that's effectively what she was saying, is that we decided what was right for us. And we knew that there were going to be naysayers, and we knew that there was going to be resistance here or there. But she knew also that the momentum was there, and we had to do it right at that moment. And if we waited too long, you know, things were going to change and so forth. So just to jump into it is in some ways the best way to get these things going. And then from there, then you begin to adapt. Mm-hmm. Then you begin to kind of, you know, figure out where it's not working, as opposed to trying to anticipate everything that may or may not, you know, go right. Mm-hmm.
It's been a fun process. I think we've all learned a lot about our curriculum and our students and how they learn, the research piece of it. It's mm-hmm. really helped us find focus for our school. I mean, our mission and vision is launching girls who are going to change the world and being leaders in 21st century education. It's a very clear directive. And I think following your mission and vision is essential, because that helps. That gives you a clear direction. I would say from our standpoint, we've had several schools come visit us and spend a day talking to different members, talking to what does it look like from athletics, what does it look like from development or admissions. And we're happy to host anybody who wishes to visit. Through this process, we did a ton of research. I'm happy to share anything we have. We're more than happy to share it, because it is fascinating to see what is best for your school. What opportunities are out there for us to be innovative as educators?
I think the other thing that we learned in looking at this was that there is no perfect schedule out there. Every schedule has trade-offs, and that there's benefits and there's negatives. And so there is just no perfect schedule, but there are better schedules for what you are trying to do.
Well, thank you so much, Kate and Andrew. Thank you for sharing your insights into this process. It sounds like it was a lot of hard work, but there seem to be some wonderful benefits. And I know a lot of other schools are going to learn from you. So thank you for your time and your insight.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for having us. It's been a great time.
Follow us on Twitter. Sarah can be found at S. Edson.
And Yanni can be found at A. Hill Gill. Pep Talks is produced by Olivia Haas and Jen Shakeshaft, and edited by Stacey Tippins.
Special thanks to the Madeira School, the Atlanta Girls School, and the Ethel Walker School.
Pep Talks is a project of the National Coalition of Girls Schools and recorded on the campus of the Madeira School in McLean, Virginia.
The National Coalition of Girls Schools is the leading advocate for girls' schools, connecting and collaborating globally with individuals, schools, and organizations dedicated to educating and empowering girls.
Please join us in Washington, D.C., June 25th through the 27th, 2017, for the Education Innovation Conference, where we will explore building school cultures of creativity.